Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
Good afternoon, Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, on this Tuesday, December the 18th. And I'm not going to lie, folks, I'm still pissed. I am still pissed from Sunday's performance the Miami Dolphins showed against the Minnesota Vikings. I'm not even pissed that they lost, because winning at Minnesota was always going to be an uphill battle. I get it, and that doesn't really upset me. Just the performance we saw, especially from the offensive side of the ball. Of course, both sides are to blame, and they weren't great on defense. But that offensive performance, on top of some of the other offensive performances we've seen this year, just really, really upset me, because we do have a head coach who is known, quote-unquote, as an offensive genius, the quarterback whisperer, all those, and I'm sorry for swearing, bullshit titles, which he does not deserve. And then we have a quarterback who, you know, is just an ordinary player. Great guy, but just an ordinary player, even on his best days. And after that performance on Sunday, I am just at my breaking point. I have seen enough. And it's just time to part company with both. But we'll get into that in a minute. I do want to say later on in the podcast, we will be joined by Antoine Staley from USA Today to talk all things Miami Dolphins. But there are a few things I want to talk about. And the first topic is, it was announced today. And this is a sign of a bad franchise. And it really is. It's a sign of a bad franchise. The Miami Dolphins announced for their final home game this week against Jacksonville, to appease the fans, they talked to the NFL and they got permission to wear their throwback uniforms one more game. So league rules is you can only wear them twice a year. The NFL said, sure, why not? In the spirit of Christmas, they're going to let the Miami Dolphins wear their throwbacks this Sunday once again. And they're also going to paint the end zones, not the diamond-shaped type paint. They're going to paint them orange with the old-school Miami Dolphins logo on the helmet. So, you know, the organization knows that the fan base right now is not happy, that this is another losing year. It's one more year where the team's not going to make the playoffs, and it's just more, you know, failure from the Miami Dolphins. And I saw a stat on Twitter, and let me see if I can find it. It is, and I want to give credit to the person who posted it. It's at JT_Evans97, and it's an amazing stat, and it just goes to show you how much failure there's been in Miami, you know, roughly over the past 8 or 9 years, if not longer, but really the past 8 or 9 years. And here's the stat. The Miami Dolphins this year are 7-7. In their last 38 games, they're 19-19. In their last 46 games, they're 23-23. In their last 84 games, they're 42-42. In their last 132 games, the Miami Dolphins are 66-66. And if you're wondering how many seasons 132 games are, it's roughly, you know, 8.5 seasons. So in the last 8.25 seasons, the Miami Dolphins are 66-66. That's just NFL hell. You're not good. You're not awful. You're just stuck in the middle, going nowhere. And that's why when you see numbers like that and you see a quarterback, and let's be honest, the last, you know, 8 years or so, that's pretty much the Ryan Tannehill era. 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015, 2016, 2017, even though he didn't play, in 2018, that's 7 of the years. This is essentially the Ryan Tannehill era, all these numbers. excuse me, it's like, you know, we are going nowhere. And it's tough to feel bad for head coach Adam Gase with some of the things you see and read. This past week, there was quotes from Kenyon Drake, who sounds like he just can't get out of Miami soon enough. He's just not happy. He pretty much says, I'm just doing what they tell me. And T was asked why he's really not on the field much and seeing the ball that much. He was like, talk to the coach. I just play. And he seems like he's very unhappy. And Rashad Jones, he had had a few more stronger words, pretty much saying that he's being misused on this defense. And it sounds like, you know, if Adam Gase stays, these are two more guys that won't be in Miami in 2019. That Adam Gase, if he should stay and gets his way, is probably going to run off Kenyon Drake and Rashad Jones. And how many more guys are we going to run off on this roster? You know, I know some of the guys was because of the salary cap implications when it comes to Sue and Landry, Jay Ajayi, and some of these guys that he just ran off. Now we're going to add Drake and Jones possibly to this list. Possibly, I say, because we don't know. But, I mean, is he just going to run off every quality player that he doesn't like or every quality player he just can't seem to use right or every quality player he can't seem to get through and coach? I mean, no. At some point, you got to go to the source, and the source is Adam Gase. I hate to say it, folks. Adam Gase is a problem. Adam Gase someday might go on to be a great head coach, but it ain't going to be in Miami, okay? He might go somewhere else and wherever, you know, he might go somewhere else and be a great head coach in time. He might learn from the mistakes he made in Miami. He might, you know, become more, he might look inward and say, you know what, I should have handled this differently. You know what, I should have handled that differently. But that ain't happening right now. This guy gets up in front of the media day after day, and, you know, he's a stubborn son of a bitch, and he's an arrogant stubborn son of a bitch, and he's got no resume, and he's got no facts to back up his arrogance, okay? He really has nothing to back it up. So it is tough to watch. It really is tough to stomach and tough to watch. And then we got a starting quarterback who, you know, again, great guy. He's just, isn't any good. I mean, he's just okay. And, you know, I hear some of these Tannehill lovers, and we know who they are. If you are on social media, if you're on Twitter, if you're on whatever your form of social media is, Facebook, Instagram, you know who they are. The people who will defend Ryan Tannehill time after time, who write up these diatribes like their Bibles with pie charts and graphs and stats that mean absolutely nothing. Because at the end of the day, when you're a quarterback, your job is to move the ball and win the games. And with Tannehill, the team does not convert on third down almost ever. He doesn't win on the road. His record overall is about 500 at best. He's been here through God knows how many offensive coordinators and God knows how many coaches. They all seem to come and go, but Tannehill stays. It's like, at what point do you look at him and say, you know what, he's the problem. And I've defended Tannehill time and time again, but the excuses of, you know, there's injuries around him, he's not the right guy, you know, enough. Everyone's sick of hearing about it. Part of the first thing of fixing a problem is acknowledging there is a problem. And the starting quarterback position for the Miami Dolphins is a problem. And to blame, you know, if for Ryan Tannehill to be successful, you need like 4 or 5 Pro Bowl offensive linemen and, you know, a future Hall of Fame running back and 2 or 3 top flight. I mean, if you got to put superstars around him for him to be good, then you know what? He ain't good. Okay, no quarterback in this league is going to have a perfect offensive line. No quarterback in this league is going to have perfect wide receivers. It's like, it's laughable because that's what some of you fans who still defend him and some of you people with blogs and some of you people who think you know what you're talking about, you know, you actually say this stuff and believe it. Tannehill is not that good. And the fact he's going to count as much as he's going to count next year on a salary cap, I mean, it's mind-boggling that some of you want him back. Because A, he never wins, and B, you know, he's going to tie up, you know, a big part of your cap. And it's just time to move on from all these guys. The Miami Dolphins have 2 games left. They're home against the Jags, who have an elite defense. They might stink on offense like Miami, and as a team, they might stink. And they have a head coach who might be a bigger moron than our head coach, and I think he is. But, you know, Jacksonville, we can't get 200 yards against teams like against the Vikings and the Bills, and we struggle on third down against teams like the Colts, and we're 1-7 on third down against the Patriots. The Patriots' defense stinks. We were 1-7 on third down against them. They have the type of team that could suffocate this piss-poor Miami offense, And this could be a loss. I actually think Miami, you know, squeaks out a win at home, just because at home they always just seem to find a way to win. But they, you know, they could lose this game. And then week 17 up against the Bills on the road, penciled in as a loss. They got no chance of winning that game at all. So, you know, if the Dolphins end here 0-2, or even if they end 1-1, they go 8-8, you know, to me, that's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. Not so much that they went 8-8. It's just unacceptable of how they went 8-8. And just, you have a coach who can't seem to get through to his players. And that, yes, they play hard for him. Yes, it's just, it's not working. Nothing here is working at all. And the offense struggles to move the ball and score points. You have a quarterback who's now injury prone beyond belief. And is just not doing enough. The fixes, you know, he fired half his staff last year and brought in all new guys. This is his coaching staff. What's he going to do this year? Fire the other half of the staff and bring? I mean, at what point? You can't keep firing your staff and keep turning it over. At some point, you got to realize you're the problem. And I think this is, and if the owner, who I do have faith in Stephen Ross, he's going to do the right thing. I do have faith in him. Because I think, you know, he is a fan. Now, he's a fan who's got a lot of money in his pocket, who owns a team. But he's a fan. And, you know, most Miami Dolphins fans right now, if you're a diehard fan, if you're a longtime fan, like me, 41 years old, I was there in the 80s, the early 80s, saw Marino and Shula in the heyday. I was there in the late 80s when they weren't very good. I was there in the 90s. I've been there the whole ride. Okay, some of these people you listen to on podcasts or you read in the media, you know, their first fandom of the Miami Dolphins starts with like Wonstadt and Ricky. They don't know the history, okay? And this organization really has been struggling for a long time now. And I don't know who needs to come in to fix it. I have some ideas, but I don't know. What I do know is the guys that are here, like Tannehill and Adam Gase, they ain't going to fix it, folks. They are not going to fix it. You bring them back for 2019, I promise you, a year from today, we'll be in the same type of situation. Or worse. And it's just not going to get any better. These guys are in over their heads. Each one of them. Tannehill, he's doing his best, but he has his limitations. And maybe Tannehill in this offseason, if he should be let go, maybe he goes to a team like the Giants. Maybe he goes to a team like Tampa Bay. Maybe he goes to a team like Jacksonville. And you know what? Maybe they, you know, win 9-10 games with him. God bless him. But that, wherever he goes, whatever team he goes to, he'll be part of the reason they win 9 or 10 games, but they're going to win 9 or 10 games because that team has, you know, an elite running game or an elite defense. He's not the guy. You know, the reason Miami is so bad on the road, to win on the road in this league, you know how you win on the road in this league? You have a quarterback who can go into a hostile situation, shut up a crowd, and make big throws on the road in tough conditions. You look at guys like Elway, Marino, Rodgers. Yes, they're some of the all-time greats. You know why they were good on the road? Because they made big plays on the road in hostile situations. Tannehill's not that guy. He's not that guy. He'll never be that guy. You are never going to go into a hostile situation on the road with him and come out with a win. Almost never. There might be a time here or there, but it's so few and far between, it's not even worth mentioning. I mean, it doesn't happen. He is not that guy. And it's okay. I'm not blaming him. It's just he has his limitations. But as a fan of a team and as a fan of the organization and not of a singular player, you know, you got to make a tough decision. And, you know, he's got to go. I don't even think it's up for debate anymore. He's got to go. The salary cap stuff, just remember the salary cap. That is funny money. You can make the salary cap do anything you want. You can, you know, do a post June 1st cut to save here. You can do a cut here. You can move this guy's contract, extend this guy to save money here. The salary cap's not an issue. It's not an issue for the Miami Dolphins at all heading into next year. So that's not a reason to hold on to Ryan Tannehill. It's also, you know, I hear a lot of people say, you know, who else are you gonna get? I don't know. It's not my job. It's not. The owner of this team pays people like the general manager, pays people like the vice president and a bunch of scouts to figure that stuff out. And there's a lot of names who'll be on the market. You know, there's no perfect answer. But what I do know, and I've said it many times, status quo is unacceptable. To just roll out in 2019 with Adam Gase and Ryan Tannehill is unacceptable. And as a fan, if you live in the South Florida area, if, you know, come mid-January, late January, if the plan of attack is we're going to give the head coach and the quarterback one more shot, then you know what? If you spend money on tickets next year, God bless you. Because you're just a glutton for punishment at that point. I really think you are. Because if they roll out, if it's when it's all said and done, when all the smoke clears, if they say we're going to give Adam Gase and Ryan Tannehill one more shot, but even if they say we're going to draft somebody, don't worry. But if the plan of attack is that the quarterback and head coach are back for 2019, then you know what? It's tough to have hope. It's tough to have hope because it's just I don't know what the team would be selling you next year. I mean, this team right now, this organization right now knows things are so bad that they petition the NFL to wear throwback uniforms and to paint the end zones this week because they know the fan base is pissed and the fan base has now endured another losing season with no playoffs. So the organization knows that, you know, that they got to be careful here because this fan base, the South Florida sports fan will never be confused with the fans of Boston, New York, Philadelphia, Cleveland. They're just not that diehard, passionate fan. Now, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying they're just not that type of fan. And, you know, the Miami Dolphins have to be careful because if they do nothing, to try to improve the product or if they, you know, expect you, the fans, to just sort of lap it up more of the same heading into next year, there's a good chance they're going to have a lot of trouble selling tickets in 2019. I'm telling you right now, I don't see if they roll out Gase and Tannehill in 2019 how they sell a lot of tickets next year. It's going to be tough because a casual fan, after seeing this year, it's just, you know, aside from one thrilling play at the end of the Patriots game, a thrilling play, and also throwing the Bears game. The Bears game was exciting. It was very exciting. Aside from one play against the Patriots and the game against the Bears at home, you know, this year has been, you know, not much fun and not it hasn't had a lot of excitement to be a fan of the Dolphins. It really just hasn't. It's been bad offense. It's been boring and just being a team that's middle of the pack, really going nowhere. You know, really going nowhere. So we'll see, but I'm still upset. I really am. That Vikings game really did strike a nerve with me. And again, not because they lost, just because how they lost. And it's very frustrating to see another season down the toilet for the Miami Dolphins. And, you know, something's got to be done to give the fans hope. Because the fans are part of this. The fans go to the games. The fans buy the merchandise. The fans support this team. And, you know, painting the end zones and asking the NFL if you can wear throwback uniforms one extra game. You know, if that gets you excited, God bless you. Me, I don't give a crap. Honestly, I don't give a crap. And I want to see results on the field. And right now, the team in place, from Tannenbaum to Greer to Gase, down to the players, specifically the quarterback, have failed. And they failed miserably. They failed last year because they didn't have a plan in place at the quarterback spot should Tannehill not recover. They failed because of poor planning. This year, they've just failed overall because the job wasn't done. And, you know, like I said on the post-game show Sunday, if you're happy with 7-9 and 8-8, then this is your crew. Because they'll get you to that anywhere between 6 and 8 wins every year. But if you want more, if you want to be a real team who's, you know, consistently in the playoffs, who is consistently trying to win an AFC East. AFC East is going to be up for grabs soon, folks. Okay? Let's not kid ourselves. New England's getting old. The head coach is getting old, and so is the quarterback. They only have a year or two left in them. Probably together. So the AFC East is going to be up for grabs soon. As long as they're on the field playing those guys, they're going to win the AFC East. That's coming to an end. So the Miami Dolphins, you know, need to get their shit together. They need to get their shit together and stop playing games and fix this organization. Because right now, this organization is a mess from top to bottom. And it's embarrassing. What we saw against the Vikings this week was embarrassing. embarrassing. It was embarrassing. You have 100-something yards offense like that. Can't convert a third down. Getting sacked 9 times. Give me a break. I mean, now you're going to paint the end zones because that's going to make people happy? Let's wear the old uniforms again. Give me a break. That's embarrassing. So, we'll see. But this week's game, look, when you're a team like the Dolphins, there's no such thing as a guaranteed win. Jacksonville's just as bad as us. But we'll see what happens. Right now, I'll take a quick break. When I come back, we'll be joined by Antoine Staley, Miami Dolphins reporter for USA Today. I want to apologize in advance. Antoine's phone in this interview breaks up a few times. It makes it tough to hear. Look, he's been on with us every week this week, Antoine. He's been every week this year. He's been great. This week was really the first week where we had any type of audio issues. But you can hear enough. You can hear enough. But I do apologize in advance for the audio issues. But I'll take a quick break, and when I come back, we'll be joined by Antoine Staley from USA Today. So sit tight, and we'll be back after this.
Sinbad Sports is the number one sports memorabilia company in South Florida and the number one place to go get authentic Miami Dolphins signed memorabilia. Sinbad Sports has had the likes of Albert Wilson, Kiko Alonso, Frank Gore, Jakeem Grant, Rashad Jones, Ricky Williams, and Cam Wake in for recent autograph signings. So when you're in South Florida, go ahead and visit Sinbad Sports at 1976 South University Drive, Davie, Florida. Tell them DolphinsTalk.com sent you.
Joining me on the DolphinsTalk.com hotline is Antoine Staley from USA Today. Antoine, how are you doing today?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing good. So the Dolphins had a rough one this past Sunday against the Vikings. They were pretty much, I thought, pushed around on both sides of the ball. What was your takeaway from the game?
You just get down to an early 21-0 hole. And, everybody, they came back to, they threw it a lot down to 21-17 at the halftime after that Kalen Ballage touchdown. But it was few and far good plays in between for the Dolphins. I think outside of those two, that and the Minkah Fitzpatrick pick six, I don't remember too many other eventful plays throughout the course of that game, at least not on the Dolphins side. Yeah, it's both sides of the ball, Ryan Tannehill getting sacked 9 times, not being able to – I mean, they were able to run the ball a little bit, but outside of that long 75-yard run, they weren't able to run the ball that much, that well in particular. And, yeah, this got completely dominated.
Yep, and it was another game where the Miami Dolphins offense failed to even have 200 yards of total offense. They only had 193. You know, the excuse we hear a lot is they got a lot of guys hurt. So, you know what, a lot of teams have a lot of injuries, and this is a head coach who made his name as being an offensive coach. We'll talk about the quarterback in a minute, but aside from that, what's wrong with this offense? Why aren't they making pretty much any plays at all?
Well, I know Sunday it was definitely some of the stats were Tannehill's fault, some of them were the offensive line's fault. It was just a collection of a lot of different things. Obviously, also Kenyon Drake missed some blocks as well. So it was really a collective effort. I think it goes back to Gase too. I think a lot of it is his. This is the players that he picked. I just don't think this is necessarily a very talented football team. And now you have injuries to Albert Wilson, to Jakeem Grant, two of your speed guys. And yeah, I like Kenny Stills, but he's not necessarily a game breaking wide receiver. He's not going to be a game changer. He's more like a two or three receiver. And they don't have that dynamic player that's going to go out and you'll be reliable. I think they really missed that. And I know a lot of people don't talk about they miss Jarvis Landry, but I think they kind of do because they don't have that person that they can rely on when things get tough that they can get the ball to. And I think that's part of the reason. I just don't think it's a very talented team. And then you have injuries, and it's really not a talented football team.
Yeah. And one stat that I find is sort of a trend that's kind of alarming, and I want to get your take. Since Tannehill has returned against Indianapolis, Miami was 4 of 11 on third down. The next week against the Bills, they were 2-9. The week against New England, they were 1 of 7. And last week, they were 2 of 12. third down is a major issue. And in my book, that's a reflection of your quarterback more than anyone else. I know there's something with the offensive line getting sacks. I get it. But overall, that's a reflection, in my eyes, of the starting quarterback. Do you put more of that on him, or do you think that's more of a head coach issue? Because third down, they are a complete failure. Miami gets to third down, and they just might as well punt the ball right there.
I think it's a combination of both. They wouldn't get on third down last year either. So this has been an ongoing thing. I don't want to necessarily put everything on Tannehill. I just think it's part of the reason is the plays that they call, also the fact that they're in third and intermediate and third and long situations. And if the Dolphins are third and eight or longer, I'm kind of – they're not going to get it. That's just kind of how this is. I mean, a lot of offenses don't get it, but you just feel – you just know the Dolphins are not going to get it. Yeah, you just have that feeling like, oh, well, they're gonna punt it. At least when it's 3rd and 4, 3rd and 3, it's a little bit more manageable. You have a little bit more confidence. But, yeah, I just don't have any confidence in this team to convert a 3rd and long or intermediate situation. And that's a problem for the last couple of years. And I don't think it's just Tannehill's fault. But, yeah, definitely the fact that I don't think he's necessarily throwing a lot of deep balls since coming back from the injury has a little bit to do with it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And there was a video that's been circulating online, I think from one of the local TV stations down there yesterday, where the reporter talked to Rashad Jones and Kenyon Drake. And, you know, they didn't come outward and start pointing fingers, but, you know, reading between the lines, they both seemed very unhappy. They both seemed very unhappy. Jones said something to the effect of, I'm not going to move back over to strong safety or something. They're just going to leave me where I am. And then Drake just seemed very unhappy. Obviously, in the past, you've seen guys like Landry, Jay Ajayi, Jordan Phillips have left here just very unhappy. When they left, they were just sort of not sad to go. Has Adam Gase, in your eyes, has he lost control of this team maybe?
I don't know if he's lost control, but I think a lot of people, when players are leaving the Dolphins, I think you have a lot of people that are, like you said, are happy that they're gone. It's the way they part ways with players. I've talked to certain players there. They respect Adam Gase, but I just think that they feel like he's not using them correctly. He's not evaluating the talent properly. You look at Kenyon Drake, a nice game, but this has been an ongoing problem with Kenyon Drake all year. He'll get him 2 or 3 carries a game, or give him the ball 4 or 5 times. And we talk about a guy that led the NFL in rushing a year ago during the last 5 games of the season. And also Rashad Jones. Yeah, I mean, I understand the incident happened where he didn't want to come back into the game, but everybody knows he's not necessarily a free safety. He's a strong safety. And yes, you have TJ Bernardo there as well. That's part of the problem. They're both kind of
same player
type players, obviously. Jones is better, but now you're having him playing out of position, and he's not happy about that. He's not playing up to his potential. And I actually think he's probably on the way out no matter what happens, especially if Gase returns, because now they're going to say, well, you didn't necessarily he didn't do the job that they wanted him to do, but he's not playing the position that he wants to play. So it's those guys are already on the list of players that are unhappy. I just think have a problem with him evaluating talent. And also yesterday, during the press conference, which boggles my mind, he says, well, Kalen Ballage has been – we've been seeing him doing that in practice for a while.
So why haven't you played him?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, if you know your offense is struggling, why not get him more carries? I know Frank Gore is really good, but Kalen Ballage has home run type speed. You need that. You need that. That's what it's all about. I know Frank Gore has done a really good job. It's enough room to get all three of those guys the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the thing with Drake that is frustrating, nobody will sit here and say Drake's the perfect back or the perfect player. Yes, he has flaws in his game. But as a head coach and someone who's known for being an offensive guy, your job is to sort of mask the flaws and accentuate the positives. And the fact that it seems like in games and pretty much for this whole year, Gase has pretty much been like, well, I can't use Drake. No, there's ways to use him more than what he's used now. You just have refused to do it, it seems like. And to me, that's a reflection of the head coach and why it's so frustrating to see Adam Gase sometimes. And some of the stuff he does, some of the stuff he says, it's just frustrating because it's like nobody's a perfect player. Your job is to get the most out of them. And it doesn't seem with certain guys, he doesn't try hard enough. I don't know.
Yeah, my biggest gripe with, well, two of them actually were Adam Gase. Is one, he's stubborn. Yeah. One of the most, like, very stubborn, one of the most stubborn coaches probably in the league, actually. But number two is he forces players to fit around his scheme and his and what he likes to do. When you're head coach and you're supposed to be this offensive genius, as what from what people were saying, I still haven't seen it. But when you're a guru like that, you're supposed to have to build the talent on your team. Then why not fit your offense and your scheme around now and their talent and the skill set? Yeah, it's gonna be certain things that you want to do and offensively, but you have to understand the talent that you have and the talent that you don't. And I just feel like he tries to. Square the round peg hole. Yeah,
round peg, square
like
hole.
He does
yeah.
that.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I don't feel like it's always the best thing.
No, it's no that's flexibility at all. No flexibility. Yeah. You have an offensive line that's clearly got some guys hurt, and some of the guys that were there to begin with really are just so-so players. So it's like, what do we do? He puts Tannehill back there in the pocket every time. The guy, you know, we always hear.
Killed.
Yeah. And we and always
I was
hear.
Last week too.
We used to be a wide receiver. If he used to be a wide receiver, move him around. Get him out of the pocket. Yeah. Get him on the run.
Well my biggest thing last week too. You're down 41-7, and you still have Tannehill in there.
Well, that's
I mean, you understand. Like you're trying to get the man killed. Like just get him out of there. You,
take
you're
the
not
loss.
Gonna win the game.
It's over. That's
yeah.
right. Take
yeah.
the loss.
Just
it's
put,
over.
Put Osweiler down. Yeah.
Yeah. Let him take the beating because, especially. Which we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but if these guys have been told, you know, you will all be back next year, then why would you get him killed, Tannehill? Because if the plan is, which I don't know, I'm just saying if they were told he's going to be back, it's like, why would you let him continue to get – he's got a bad ankle, he's got a bad shoulder, he's coming off a knee injury, and you're just letting him get hit play after play. It's all – I mean, it's like throwing the towel. If it was a boxing match, it would have been throwing the towel. It's very frustrating. They got two games left here. Who knows how they'll finish? I think you're probably on the same page with me. At best, they split. But most likely, they'll probably go 0-2 because when you have an offense, they can't get 200 yards of total offense most weeks. It's tough to win games in this league. If they go 0-2 and they lose against these teams here that just aren't very good at the end, is there a case to be made to bring anybody back? Because I find it hard. I mean, it's tough with these guys to – justify because of A, what he says Gase just I mean he's so stubborn, but he's like stubborn with arrogance and he has nothing to back it up. Tannehill, we've gone over it a million times. He is what he is, and what he's about to be paid next year, I can't justify. I mean, I don't know how anybody would justify that salary. If they lose the final two, could you see them all just being gone clean house? Antoine, you there?
Just say, you know what, they should just cut bait and just, you know, start over. Because the fact of the matter is, unless they get to the playoffs, I mean, we already see with this team. This is the ceiling of this team. And you're not going to get any better. You're going to bring Tannehill and Gase back one more year. Have to try to do this one more. And yeah,
you're breaking up a little, Antoine. Antoine, you there?
Hello. Yeah, okay. You hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. Yeah, I would say, yeah, Gase has had opportunities to go get his quarterback. He wanted to get Jay Cutler. He wanted to keep Tannehill. So I'm ready. I think it's time to just blow it up and start over and see what else and just start completely over in the front office. That's what I think they should do.
I'm right there with you. It's tough to justify. Like, I thought the play against New England at the end, because heading into that game, they had – 4 games left. And you and me, I think we're on the same page. We probably thought they're going to go 0-4, at best maybe 1-3. That win sort of, you know, gave everyone a little bit of life, gave everyone a little bit of hope. But in reality, the team we saw this week, that's the real team. The team we saw against the Bills, that was 2-9 on third down, 100-something yards of offense. And the team we saw against the Vikings, that's the real team. The team against the Patriots, that was the anomaly. And you can't get caught up in that because that was – look, it was a fluke ending. Great play, very exciting as a fan, but it was a fluke play. Let's just be honest. And if they come back next year with this head coach and the same starting quarterback, how do you sell tickets? What do you tell your fan base? Because, I mean, it just makes it a big challenge to even get excited about next year, because it's like it's going to be more of the same. Neither one of these guys are going to change.
For one more week, which is kind of saying, you know what, we're something. So let's, we know everybody likes the throwback jersey, so let's decide to do that.
Yeah. Right. So they're going to paint the end zones. That's nice.
So yeah, that's how you know, they're panicking at front office.
You're breaking up, Antoine.
Yeah, things are not well to do this. So yeah, I think, to be honest with you, yeah, I can't see any way you bring this team back.
Yep. And the thing I saw this week, because obviously there was a report 2 weeks ago by Jason Lockenfora that Patton there from the Vikings might be looking to make the jump to be a general manager, and possibly Miami would be on the list of teams he'd be interested in. If I'm the owner of the Dolphins, I jump at that. Because what I saw from the Vikings this week, I know they've had a bit of an up-and-down year. That roster is loaded with talent. And if he had any hand in putting together that roster, I would love to see him in Miami, because obviously they know what they're doing in Minnesota, and maybe they've had a rough year in some ways, whatever, it happens. But talent-wise, that team is loaded at pretty much every position with talent, and that was impressive to see.
Yeah, and I think they're going to make the playoffs. So, yeah, they got a quarterback, a solid quarterback, running back, offensive line is very good, and that defense is
wide receivers are good, loaded on defense, all three levels of defense. They have a lot of depth.
Yeah, so, yeah, I think – and they have structure, and that's something that the Dolphins definitely do not have. So, yeah, I would definitely invite that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he'd be sort of at the top of the list. So, this week, Miami has Jacksonville. I actually think between the final two games, this is the most winnable, just because it's at home, and we know on the road, Miami really struggles, plus that final game's going to be up north, cold, wind, snow, and it ain't going to mean nothing. So, that one, I think this is their probably last best chance to win. Jacksonville's, they're a mess as well, but they have one side of the ball. Much like the Vikings, they play very good defense, and that might be a struggle for this Dolphins offense. What do you think about this week's game against Jacksonville?
I think it's a bad matchup for the Dolphins, but I think the fact of the matter is their offense is
putrid,
the Jacksonville's, So I think that definitely helps the Dolphins. So I'm going to go with them. I think they'll win, but it's going to be a low-scoring game, so maybe 20-17 Dolphins, but they should win this. I think they're going to lose against the Bills, so I think they're going to finish 8-8.
I'm right there with you. I think they'll actually win this week. This game with these two offenses in Jacksonville and Miami might set NFL football back like 50 years, because it's good. These are two of the worst offenses in the league, and it's funny because each one is a head coach that is quote unquote an offensive mind, but these offenses right now stink. I mean, when you're the Miami Dolphins,
it could be like the Jets game.
It might be that type of 10-0, or what was the final score? 10-6, whatever it was.
13-6.
It might be that type of game, because neither one of these. I mean, when you're the Miami Dolphins and you can, in this day of age, you cannot muster 200 yards total offense in a game. And then when you think they had 193 this week, 75 all came on one play. I don't know how to put that into words, and that is failure across the board from the head coach to the players to the front office, and it's not the first time this has happened this year. It's not the first time. So this game might set NFL football back a long ways, and it might be a quick game too that's over in about like an hour and a half if they just run the ball every play. Last question. Sixth and final wild card spot in the AFC. We always talk about this. Who do you think it's going to be? Right now, I would think the Ravens are sort of in the driver's seat for that sixth and final wild card spot, just the way they're playing. Who do you like right now?
I'm going Colts. I think the Colts is a consistent team out of them. So, yeah, I'm going with Indianapolis. Definitely.
Yeah. I think it's going to be one of those two. I don't think it's going to be the Titans. And anybody underneath the Titans, I don't take – seriously, it's not going to be the Browns, won't be Miami, won't be Denver. Those teams are done. But I think I like the Ravens a bit. But, yeah, if it's not the Ravens, I'm probably the Colts. I'm there with you. Antoine, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week there. You have a nice holiday if we don't talk to you before then. Everyone, be sure to read the work of Antoine Staley at dolphinswire.usatoday.com and follow Antoine on Twitter at Antoine Staley. Antoine, have a good holiday. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, sounds good.
All right, bye-bye.
The DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network brings you only the best podcasts covering the Miami Dolphins. With fins up, fans down, welcome to Perfectville, the same old Dolphins show, the Landon and Jeff show, as well as DolphinsTalk.com daily podcast. You will get in-depth coverage from diehard, passionate Miami Dolphins fans each and every week. Be sure to listen to all these great podcasts and check them out at DolphinsTalk.com.
Once again, I would like to thank Antoine Staley from USA Today for joining us here on the podcast. I apologize about his phone. It sort of broke up there in parts. We'll try to do better next week with that. But so I do apologize about that. Now let's get to the pick segment, because the next few days, Stephen Masso will be hosting as well as Tom. So let's get straight to the picks segment. Now last week I dropped a game. Landon and Jeff picked up a game on me. So we are all tied with 2 weeks left in the year. So this is going to be an exciting finish here to our picks contest. And let's get right to it. This week, I want to pick teams that, A, need to win, and B, I trust. So that's my logic this week. Game number one. We're going to Sunday night. Give me Kansas City on the road, -2.5 at Seattle. Kansas City, I think they'll get their offense back on track. Seattle is okay. They're not great. They're not awful. They're just okay. And there's a lot of teams in this league that are okay. And I think when Kansas City is clicking, they put up a lot of points. And I think they will get back on track this week. It's a tough spot always in Seattle, but the number's only 2.5. So essentially, just win by a field goal. So I like Kansas City in game number one. Game number two. And once I always hate picking them, and they didn't win for me last week, but I'm taking them anyways again. New England, -12.5 at home against the Bills. New England is coming off back-to-back road losses, and they're getting ready to thump somebody. And you have a team here in the Bills with a quarterback who has no wide receivers, who just likes to run around. And if he tries to run around here a lot this week, I think New England's just pretty much going to knock his block off, because I think the Patriots are pissed. They're at home, and Tom Brady ain't losing 3 in a row, and he ain't losing to the Buffalo Bills, a team that he has owned since he's been in the league, literally own them. He almost never loses to them. So give me New England. And plus, they're trying to fight to get a first-round bye. So they need this game. It's a big number, 12.5. But give me New England, -12.5. Game number three. Another very good team playing another very bad team. Give me the Rams, -14 at Arizona. Arizona stinks. Arizona's dreadful. The Rams still have hope to get that number one overall seed, and they're still fighting for a first-round bye because they did lose to the Bears, so they need this game. So it's on the road, but I think the Rams will just absolutely run it up on Arizona, so I will lay 2 touchdowns. So the 3 picks this week are Kansas City, -2.5, New England, -12.5, and the LA Rams, -14. So everyone, be sure to tune in to the Landon and Jeff show on Wednesday to see who they pick. And with 2 weeks left, we're all tied up. So this big bet here for a Syracuse Orange hat is really coming down to the wire. High stakes. High stakes. This is more about pride than the actual hat, I'm not going to lie. So that's it for today's show. I want to thank everyone once again for listening. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Dolphins Talk, at Dolphins Talk. You want to send me an email? I can be reached at DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. And be sure to check out the website, DolphinsTalk.com. We have a ton of new articles and content up all the time, new videos and such. So head up to the website at all times for all things Miami Dolphins. So everyone, enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.